that tumbling topsy-turvy Dow.
Just this week, the Dow Jones Industrial Average broke 1,300, a new record, and the New York Daily News carried a headline that I will always cherish. It simply read, Zippity-Doo-Dow.
If the Dow hit 1,300 today, it would surely be another record, but not one likely to be cherished by the president. Possible headline, Slippity-Dow-Doo-Doo. We got your Zippity right here on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
With all the zip for your morning, good morning. It's Thursday, March 12th. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Farai Chidea, always amused, always amazed here at The Takeaway. I'm in for Adora Udoji, who's on leave with her new baby. And coming up this hour, we're covering a bunch of different angles on the economy. You're going to meet some people with voices nobody wants to hear. Actors who record debt collection messages. All this and more ahead, but first, these headlines.
3 years in prison for the Iraqi journalist who threw shoes at President Bush. That news just out of Iraq a few minutes ago. Video of the shoe tossing turned the TV reporter into a hero in some quarters, or really around the world. Onlookers cheered him at court. A mass protest is underway in Pakistan, even as the government tries to thwart it by arresting political activists. The situation is raising new worries about the stability of the civilian government there. Demonstrators want the current president to reinstate judges fired by former leader Pervez Musharraf.
Here in the U.S., an alarming new housing study shows February foreclosures up 30% from the previous year. It's not just people who borrowed more than they could afford. Rick Sharga of RealtyTrack explains.
What we're seeing for the first time are states like Idaho, Oregon, and Illinois in the top 10. And it may be that what we're starting to experience is the first wave of unemployment-driven foreclosures rather than lending-driven foreclosures.
Sharga's firm did the latest study. And speaking of unemployment, we're going to get more fresh data about it and more on the issue this morning. Jobless claims and retail sale numbers are on the way. We'll bring them to you as they come. And Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner will testify in the Senate.
Markets always respond to that. Investor Bernie Madoff will plead guilty to tens of billions in financial fraud today. He faces a sentence of up to 150 years for 11 felonies. Later on, we'll talk about what victims like the one, ones you've been hearing from this week who've been reacting to the Madoff guilty plea could end up with financially. Are they ever going to be compensated? That later on in the program. The S&P and the Dow edged up yesterday. The S&P begins at 721. The Dow starts well above 1,300. Don't worry, folks. 6930. So all week long, we've been talking about what is the American dream? Has it changed? And this morning, we want to hear from you, the under 30 crowd. Tell us your American dream. The issue is, has it changed? We talked with immigrants yesterday. We heard amazing stories and all sorts of interesting insights into what the American dream means to immigrants. Tomorrow, we want to talk to people who are kind of entrepreneurs. Remember Pocket Fisherman, Ron Popeil, the inventor of the hula hoop, refrigerator magnet magnates. If you have an idea that can storm the economy and make you rich, we want to hear from you tomorrow. But today, the under 30 generation. What's your new American dream? 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. Under 30, pick up the phone.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry here with Farai Chidea.
Hello.
Good morning. You know, we've been learning something all week. We've been talking about the American dream, and I think our initial sense was that we were going to hear kind of folksy stories about something that is a bit of a cliche. Instead, we've been hearing things like this.
It seems that the American dream nowadays is winning something like American Idol or something like that. Never having to work after not having ever worked.
Well, we've been hearing from people at 877-8-MY-TAKE and mytake at thetakeaway.org. And really, this notion of what is the American dream is a measure of confidence in the economy. which every level of the economy is looking to find, is looking to figure out where the confidence is, how it can be restored. How do you measure that confidence? And we want to hear from people under 30 today. What is your new American dream? What do you think of the changes in the economy that have taken place? And here talking about confidence in the economy is President Dwight D. Eisenhower back in 1955, when the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which opens today in the 6,000s somewhere, was at 400.
Now, I'm not saying that the stock market itself, its rises and falls, is necessarily an index of what we are going to happen in this country. But it does reflect that kind of confidence that we have tried in the past so hard to instill.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average, much reported, much followed, but is it a gauge of confidence in the U.S. economy? Technically, it's a list of 30 industrial so-called blue chip stocks, but is it a measure of broader confidence in the U.S. industrial economy and around the world? John Prestbo joins us. He's editor and executive director of the Dow Jones Indices and chairman of the Dow Jones Index Oversight Committee. John, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, John.
There are lots to talk about here, but first, Dwight D. Eisenhower said that the Dow Jones Industrial Average, or the stock market's rises and falls, are a measure, a sort of raw number measure of confidence in the economy. Do you buy that?
Yes, I do. I mean, it's a daily voting by investors on what they think is going to happen. And if they're buying, then they think that they're going to be able to sell later at a higher price. So that is a measure of confidence in profit growth, in economic growth. A vote of confidence.
Now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is an index of 30 industrial stocks, and many commentators, and someone who appears on this program a lot, David Leonard of the New York Times, says it's a very tiny snapshot of the broader stock market and maybe gets more emphasis than it deserves. How do you respond to that?
Well, I mean, from its very beginning, which is 113 years ago this year, it's been a shorthand indication of the stock market. That was its original purpose, and that continues to be its purpose, to take a small number of stocks, carefully selected, and use them as a proxy for what's going on in the market. This, of course, happened before there were computers. Now there are indexes with hundreds and thousands of components, so the 30, by comparison, looks very small. But the selection of those companies is very important, and the mix of those 30 really reflects what's going on in the economy. The statistical proof of that is that the Dow correlates very highly with the S&P 500. So they both tell the same story about the stock market. On any given day, one may be up and the other down, but over time, they correlate very, very highly.
John, I was just thinking about the literacy level that is required to look at these numbers. I remember when I was in high school, we had model stock market, and today Genentech was just bought by Roche, and that was actually one of the runaway stocks that someone in my high school class picked. But I, without digressing too much, I still feel like, even though I have to try to understand the stock market for my job, I'm constantly scrambling to figure out what exactly it means. And I know a lot of people have no idea what these numbers mean. Is it sufficient to constantly have these running in tickers, you know, on television sets, have these numbers in the newspaper and here on our radio show? Do you think that it actually can make people panic, I guess is what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. I think that there is such a thing as mass hysteria. And while we haven't reached that level yet, there certainly is such a thing as contagious pessimism or irrational despondency, shall we say.
I like that, irrational despondency. Sometimes you see that on CNBC when the market is really tanking and the whole network, some of these financial networks look more like a telethon for turning the indices around. Well, let's talk about some news. There have been moments when the Dow Jones Industrial Average and that list of 30 industrials has really undergone some tension as the economy shifts. I remember when Microsoft was brought into the Dow Jones Industrials, and a whole number of tech stocks really came into the Dow, and other traditional manufacturing stocks went out of the Dow, and that was a real symbol of the transformation of the U.S. economy from traditional manufacturing to tech. Now we have a different problem. Or a different issue. A lot of traditional industrial stocks are way down. General Motors might even be pulled out of the 30 industrials, along with Citigroup. How is that decision being sort of evaluated there at Dow Jones?
Well, what we do, because we're running an index, not a portfolio, so it's not like we're making investment decisions. We're making representation decisions, if you will. So we took at a company like Citigroup or like General Motors and asked ourselves, do we think these companies are still representing the industries that they come from? And our judgment up until now, and maybe for the whole rest of the day, who knows, is that they do represent their industries, and they are indicative of what's happening in those industries. So that's what we look at. And, yes, we have been watching it closely. And, yes, we are watching each other's reaction to things. And when the time comes that we lose that confidence that these companies are indicative, out they go.
Well, you know, we just heard a little bit of President Eisenhower. President Kennedy also had his thoughts on the market.
For the first time in history, we have 70 million men and women at work. For the first time in history, factory earnings have exceeded $100 a week. And even the stock market has broken all records, though we only get credit when it goes down.
You know, one thing that strikes me about that statement was that you have two different indicators, or really three, the numbers of people employed, what they make, and then the stock market. You just argued that the stock market indices are representative of what's going on in the economy, but explain more about that, because employment numbers and what people make, are they really linked that closely to the market? I'm curious.
Well, they're linked, but they're not. It's not a finely calibrated connection. There was a statement by Paul Samuelson, the economist, a number of decades ago, he's actually now, when he said that the stock market has predicted 9 of the last 5 recessions.
And 9 of the last, that's great, yeah, that's great. I love that.
So the market is a much more volatile moving indicator than the economy itself.
And it's also a leading indicator, whereas employment is a lagging indicator. It sort of lags behind. So, and that's traditionally how that works statistically. Let me play 20 questions with you for a second, John. Any idea what the Dow was at when John Kennedy made that statement that Farai just played?
Let's see. In the 60s, oh, gosh, it had to be like 700 maybe.
He's good, man. 740, mm-hmm. 740.26 on 1-12-63, January 12th, 1963. So finally, I just want to nail you down here a little bit. Are you denying that Citigroup and GM are being considered to be removed from the 30 industrials, or is that a no comment?
Well, it's basically a no comment, but I can even shorten that to no, in the sense that they're not being considered for removal until and when they cease being representative.
Right. Okay.
And I know that's a subjective judgment, but there it is.
There it is. All right. Finally, if you're a company that gets onto the Dow Jones Industrial Average, do you get advantages because with all the exchange-traded funds, suddenly you get picked up in portfolios? Just a few seconds. I want to remind people of that.
Well, to some extent, yes, although because we have 30 stocks, all of which are in the S&P 500, for example, and larger indexes, they're already in a lot of funds. So there's some pickup, but not a lot. The benefit of being in the Dow is primarily prestige.
All right. Well, zippity-doo-dow. It's not very zippity today. John Prespo, editor and executive director of the Dow Jones Indices and chairman of the Dow Jones Index Oversight Committee. Thanks so much for joining us, John.
My pleasure.
We'll be right back. You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.